From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
The NFL made several different rule changes for 2020, and we are going to talk about those in your Kansas City Chiefs Google News story of the day. I am Chris Clark of Chiefs Digest, and here are your four rule changes. Rule number one that changed: make permanent expansion of automatic replay reviews to include scoring plays and turnovers negated by a foul in any successful or unsuccessful try attempt. They're basically expanding automatic replay to deal with any kind of turnovers and any kind of scoring situations negated by a foul. This is something that I think could really become a very big deal. I do think that it was a good move for them to make this rule change. At the same time, I can understand why people wouldn't like it, but I look at it as a fairness of the game. There shouldn't be a situation where you don't review a play because there was a foul of some sort. So I really do like this ability to be able to do this. And this was put to the committee by the Philadelphia Eagles. The next rule that changed expands defensive player protection to a kickoff or punt returner who is in possession of the ball but who has not had time to kick, avoid, or ward off the impending contact of an opponent. This is basically an expansion of defensive player, of a receiver that catches the ball, is not able to get into a football-like stance and absorb a hit. This is something that I think is going to expand the safety of the league. I think this is also a very good move by the NFL. At this point, you don't want players that are just catching the ball get hit immediately. You want to give them a chance to at least collect themselves and prepare for a blow. I'm not saying it has to be a long time, but give them a second and let them at least prepare for it, as opposed to, you know, trying to figure out when they're going to get hit as soon as the ball hits their hands. The next move prevents teams from manipulating the game clock by committing multiple dead ball fouls while the clock is running. This is something that was done by Bill Belichick this year. I'm not exactly sure which team he did this against, but it was used against him later during the year by Mike Vrabel and the Tennessee Titans, I believe, in the playoff game. They used this situation where basically they got the ball, they took three or four plays and ran time off the clock. It didn't stop the clock, so it ran 2 or 3 minutes off the game clock and kept giving them, you know, a 5-yard penalty for delay of game. But what they were really doing was manipulating the game clock. This is a brilliant move by coaches that really took advantage of the rules. And I'm glad they're going through and they're fixing this, because this isn't what the NFL was expecting. So I do think that this is something that should have been addressed. I do like this rule change. The bigger rule isn't really a rule as near as much as it's a bylaw change. This is a bylaw that increases the number of players that may be designated from return from IR from 2 to 3. This basically incorporates interpretations applicable to bye weeks during the regular season and postseason. So at this point, you are now able to bring back 3 players from IR. This is a big deal for the NFL. They keep expanding it every year. I do think eventually you're going to get to a point where if a player is going to be injured for 6 to 8 weeks, you're going to be able to put them on IR, and you're going to be able to bring them back, and you're not going to have to pick 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 players. I think eventually they will open it up. This is going to be like a long-term designated injury list, kind of like what the Major League Baseball has. And I think this is a fantastic move. This is for the safety of the players, but it's also for teams to be able to manage their rosters better. But this also brings into account another reason why it's going to be a big deal for teams to have to really figure out their salary cap situation, because you're looking at a situation where having a little bit more salary cap space will give you the ability to do some of this, because maybe some of your players are going to have some game bonuses that they're not going to get that maybe if you bring them back, they will get. So you're going to have a little bit more salary cap space. But I do like this bylaw change, and I do think that in the end, it's going to become something that will benefit the NFL in the long term, short term. And I think in the end, it's going to be something where they're going to just get rid of the need to be able to not be able to bring back players after a 6 to 8 week injury. That is your Kansas City Chiefs Google News story of the day. All right, guys and gals, I know that you know I've been on a real fitness crunch over the past couple of months. I do want to tell you about our friends at Built Bar. You need to go check them out if you haven't already. Go check out builtbar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get $10 off your first order. These bars are very insanely good. They have 16 different flavors. All the bars are 100% covered in chocolate, and they're very soft and easy to chew, not like your normal protein bars that can taste like cardboard. Built Bar is great for the health-conscious guy. It helps you lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, and high-fiber. One of my favorite flavors was the Peanut Butter Brownie Built Bar. 20 grams of protein, 170 calories, 3 grams of sugar, and only 3 net carbs. Believe me, you need to go check out Built Bar. And again, go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you get $10 off your first order. Use promo code Locked On for $10 off your first order at BuiltBar.com. Built Bar is also doing a special this week where any box that you order is $5 off. That is on top of the promo code Locked On. They have 4 new flavors. You also should go check out peanut butter banana, pineapple upside down cake, coconut pecan pie, and blueberry lemon. Go check out BuiltBar.com and use promo code Locked On to get $10 off your first order. And welcome back to another episode of Locked On Chiefs. I am Chris Clark from Chiefs Digest. Thank you very much for listening. I do want to give a quick shout out to our title sponsor of the week, Built Bar. We really do appreciate them. You need to go check out their bars. They're absolutely fantastic. Again, go to builtbar.com and use promo code Locked On and you'll get $10 off your first order at Built Bar. They do have a special this week, $5 off any box that you order. So be sure to go check them out and help us with that. All right, lots to talk about Kansas City at this point. There are many things going on in the preseason. It sounds like the NFL is beginning to think that they will start getting coaches back in into the facilities in the next couple of weeks. They're hoping next week. That would be a big thing for the NFL. But they do have a rule where coaches can't go back until all the team's coaches can go back. So big question mark on that. You still have places that are holding people out from going back to their normal places of business. So we will see how that shakes out. I do think that this is going to be something that is obviously pushing things back. Mini camps have been pushed back. OTAs have been pushed back. You're basically going to lose the month off that you had between OTAs and training camp, which is kind of going to be bad for players, assuming that we're able to get back to normal in a timely fashion, which it seems like is coming closer and closer to fruition. So you got to hope that that's going to be coming relatively quickly, so we'll have to see how that plays out. The NFL is still stating that teams cannot return until all teams can return, so big questions on how that's going to play out. You start looking at the coaching situation. They're going to have to return in the next couple of weeks to be able to get things ready for mini camps and OTAs, so you hope that that's going to be something that the NFL is going to be able to do over the next couple of weeks and get that figured out. Hopefully they're able to start returning, and at this point then maybe you can start assuming or maybe start looking at the fact that maybe we'll have training camp on time, even though it's probably going to look a lot different. Now, when you start looking at the NFL season and how it's going to play out, there are still a lot of questions as to if you're going to be able to have fans in stadiums. I'm not sure how that's going to work out. I think I saw something on Twitter talking about if Texas came out and said that they were expecting NFL teams to be able to have their fans in the stadium, but it's relegated to only 25% capacity. So you're looking at going from 65,000-70,000 people to, obviously 15,000-20,000 people, or, maybe a little more, maybe 22,500. That's going to be a big deal when you're starting to talk about fans and stadiums. And you have to wonder whether or not fans are going to be willing to go back to stadiums. I think that there are going to be some places that are, some places that aren't. So big question marks there. The bigger question mark and how this is going to play into everything and going into the next season is one of the other things that's out there is the NFLPA is halting the NFL in the fact that they're saying that we haven't agreed to go back to practicing yet. This is going to be a big question over the next couple of weeks. How is this going to play out? How is the NFL and the NFLPA going to get this figured out? Because at this point, if players aren't willing to show up, I'm not exactly sure how that's going to be handled in the CBA that was signed, but I can't imagine that there was something that allows them to not show up as a full group. Maybe there is. But if there isn't, that's going to be a big question mark how they're going to get that squared away. If there is, then you have to figure out, okay, how do we go about this safely? How do we go about getting players feeling safe? The problem is you have a situation where it's going to be exponential. You have 90 players that are going to show up at any given time at a facility. And then you're going to add coaches onto it. So let's say you get to 150 people between coaches and trainers and players at a facility. All those 150 people, you're starting to talk about, okay, between those 150 people, how many people have they been around? The numbers become exponential on a regular basis just very, very quickly. So that's going to be a big thing. How do you start going through this process? Because just because you are able to test not positive one day doesn't mean you won't test not positive the next day or maybe hours later. We don't know enough about this whole thing yet to figure out how that's going to play out. So big questions when it starts coming down to when players start showing up. And that's one of the reasons that you've seen some of these other leagues, Major League Baseball, the NBA, start talking about doing situations where they would show up for games, but they would have games in two or three cities or maybe four cities, but the teams really wouldn't be able to go home in some instances. Players aren't going to like that, and I get why they're not going to like that. I'm not saying that they should like it. But the bigger question is if they do go home, how do you keep on that, and how do you get to a point where you can say that you can safely play the game? And really what it comes down to is this could have a large effect on whether or not there's going to be an NFL season. We still don't know enough. I think that there's going to be an NFL season. I hope that there's going to be an NFL season. Obviously, player safety is number one. Coach safety is number one. The employees, obviously, you have to take care of their safety, and I get that. But how are you going to get to a point where you're going to be able to keep them safe? We don't know enough about this. I don't know that we're going to know enough about this even before the NFL season kicks off in September. And while that is very discouraging in some ways, it's the reality of the situation. So if players are going to want to play games or if players are going to want to receive their paychecks, they're going to have to play. There's no way that the NFL is going to be able to pay them what they're supposed to be getting under the salary cap if they're not getting the TV money, and I can't imagine they'll get the TV money if there's not going to be any games. So all of this is going to be a big, interesting thing to watch because you just don't know how it's going to play out over the next several months. You would hope that training camp can start happening. They're starting to talk about, okay, well, if a player tests positive, then he can't practice, he can't be around anybody for 2 weeks. Okay, well, that works, and I understand why you would do that. That's going to put a lot of teams at disadvantages, and I get that that's something you're going to have to do. But imagine if it was Patrick Mahomes that tested positive and he wasn't able to play for 2 weeks. How is that going to affect Kansas City? How is that going to affect the rest of the NFL? The season is definitely going to be something that's going to be different, and it's going to be interesting to see how it's able to play out and how teams are able to get things done as long as the season goes on. But big questions when it comes to teams not being able to maybe have coaches or not being able to have players. Coaches are one thing that you can probably work a way around to where maybe they won't be in the building with somebody, but they could be watching and, talk on the sideline to somebody on the sideline, and maybe you can do that. Players are a whole different prerogative, and you're talking about a situation of how are you going to deal with players that get sick? Are you going to be able to put them on an exempt list to be able to bring somebody in for the 2 weeks that they're not going to be able to be there? At least I would think you would have to be able to do that, because what happens if you have a locker room where you have 10 or 15 players that end up testing positive at some point during the season? How are you going to field a team at that point? I think those are things that the NFLPA and the NFL are going to have to discuss in the coming weeks. And that's definitely going to be something that's going to change the way that the game is played and change the way the game is played this season. When you start looking at all of the different questions that you're going to be running into when you start talking about the COVID-19 situation and teams trying to get back to normal and trying to get the season starting to progress to the normal sense, lots of questions still remain, and it's going to have to be something that they're going to have to work through. I do think that the NFLPA and the NFL are going to have to get together, and they're going to have to make decisions. How are we going to do this? And that's a big question mark, because there are going to be, you have all the different players that are going to have to vote on it if it's another thing that they're going to make an agreement on. I would think that it would have to go through the entire NFLPA. That's a lot of people that are going to have to vote. And it's just going to be interesting to see who votes what way. And we won't find that out necessarily, but we'll find out whether or not they pass something and what number of the NFL believes in whatever that they come up with as a solution for this scenario right now. When we get back, we have a lot more to talk about. When we actually start talking about the Chiefs, it's going to be something that I'm really looking forward to. But it is something to think about when you start looking at this COVID-19 issue. There are so many things that we just don't know right now, and I hope we figure a lot of it out in the coming weeks and months, and maybe we can get back to some semblance of reality and some semblance of normal. That is obviously the hope, but right now we just don't have that information. So when we get back, I will start talking a little bit more about the Chiefs and get a little bit more in depth into them. Couple of new news pieces as well. The rule that the NFL was looking about changing the ability of teams to be able to take a 4th and 15 at their own 25 to get the ball back at the end of a game, well, at any point during the game instead of an onside kick, that rule has been tabled. This was a rule that I think really would have benefited Kansas City and teams like Kansas City to have QBs that are able to extend plays and be able to get yards down the field at relative ease. So I do think that this is a rule that really would have benefited Kansas City. So it's sad to me a little bit that it didn't pass, but I understand why it didn't. I think that it's going to be an inequitable rule for a lot of teams, and I think that's the biggest reason that it didn't pass. I think when you start looking at the differences in QB, that's going to be a huge thing. Whether or not players and coaches are going to come out and say that is going to be a whole other issue. One of the other news pieces that was out today that we haven't talked about and I think is going to be interesting to see how that works out is it looks like EA Sports, the NFLPA, and the NFL have agreed to an extension when it comes to the Madden NFL. So I expect that what you're going to be seeing is that there are not going to be any other kind of NFL games that are going to be able to come out there. This gives the EA Sports an exclusive right to continue to produce the Madden game, which has been very popular. But that's going to make a couple of people upset that would like to see other types of games out there in, you know, something like an NFL Blitz type game that used to be something that was popular. But at the same time, I understand why the NFL and the NFLPA would do this, because I'm sure EA is paying a premium. We don't know what that price is, but it's definitely going to be something that's going to be up there in money. So at that point, you know, let's start talking about Chiefs news. At this point, you would have had multiple different mini camp practices. You would have had probably your mandatory mini camp for the Chiefs would have already been done. You would have had several OTA sessions done for Kansas City. And at this point, Kansas City has not signed a single draft pick. That is not going to be something that is going to be the norm when you are in a normal year. Kansas City would have already had several of the draft picks done before the mini camp process and all of the OTAs were done. More than likely, they would have all of their picks signed before all the OTAs were done. And there was that big break before training camp. But at this point, there's really nothing that's holding their feet to the fire, so there's no real reason to get the deals done. When it comes to the rookies, I would still be wanting to get my deal done, but at the same time, I understand why teams are a little bit more cautious. They probably want to get in and try to see, at least have the rookie be able to see the doctors and get them figured out in that sense before they're able to, you know, give them a contract. There are some other NFL teams that are signing their rookies to deals, so I'm not going to say it's unprecedented, but it doesn't surprise me that Kansas City hasn't. It has also been reported that Kansas City has started contract negotiations with Patrick Mahomes. Sam Ellinger of the KC Star has said that they have started that contract process. There's going to be a lot of things that are going to play into that, and that's something that we'll discuss over the coming weeks and months because it's going to be a huge deal for Kansas City. Is it going to be something that's going to be done before training camp? I kind of doubt it. I do think that they don't have enough salary cap space to be able to do what they would really want to do with his contract unless they make some other moves. The biggest move that they could make and the one that they would really need to do to get any kind of breathing room with Patrick Mahomes' contract is to get an extension done with Chris Jones. They have a month and a half basically to get that done. I think that's going to be their big thing that they're going to be working on. And I do think that if they really want him, they're going to have to pay him $21, $22 million a year to keep him in Kansas City. The question is can you afford to do that? The other question is do you want to afford to do that? He's one of the best interior linemen. I would say he's top two in the NFL, in my opinion, only to Aaron Donald. So you start looking at that value there, and what does that mean? And what is that going to mean for this roster and how you're going to be able to create it around Patrick Mahomes and all the other stars that you're paying and you know, Frank Clark and what would be Chris Jones and Tyreek Hill and those types of guys. And not to forget, you still have a guy like Travis Kelce that you've got to be worrying about in the near future. I hate to be this way, but if I was a betting man, I would say that they're not going to get a deal done with Chris Jones. I would appreciate if they could. I would love to keep Chris Jones in Kansas City. I think he's a fantastic player, and I think that he deserves to get paid what he's going to get paid. I just don't know that I see Kansas City paying him $22 million a year to keep him here. That's going to be the going rate after DeForest Buckner signed his contract for basically $21 million a year. So the reality is you're going to have to pay Chris Jones more than likely 22. Was Kansas City willing to pay him 19, 18? I imagine they probably would, but I don't know that they're going to go to 22. That seems like a small number to be a part. But when you're talking about length of contract, that could be a big deal. I think that he's worth that type of money, so it's not going to surprise me if they don't sign him. I would love to see them get the deal done with him, though. If they do find a way to get that deal done with Chris Jones, then it opens up possibilities with the new Patrick Mahomes contract, because you are going to give him a large signing bonus, and you're going to prorate that over the entire 5 years that you can of the signing bonus. So that's the big question when it comes to signing Chris Jones and signing Patrick Mahomes to an extension, is how do you come up with the ability to do that type of thing where you can extend out that signing bonus, you can add more money this year so it doesn't kill your cap near as much in the back end of the deal, because more than likely Patrick Mahomes is one of those only players that you're going to want to play out his entire contract, because it's going to be a bargain when everything's said and done in 5 years. That is going to be your episode for today. Thank you for listening to Locked On Chiefs. We really do appreciate it. Again, I do want to say, go check out our title sponsor, BuiltBar.com. Go to BuiltBar.com and get $10 off using promo code Locked On. Also get $5 off any box that you order this week up to the 31st of May. Thank you again for listening. We will be back next week to talk more Kansas City Chiefs football. Hopefully we'll have a little bit more news to talk about. And maybe they'll make some other moves. Maybe they'll sign a couple of draft picks. That's the one thing that we're kind of waiting on at this point. Thanks again for listening, and we will be back next week.
Ryan Tracy is the founder of Rogue Analytics and the host of RGR Football on YouTube. Follow him there. Chris Clark is a senior analyst at ChiefsDigest.com, where you can get his work. Rate and review at Apple Podcasts and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform. Thank you for listening.